This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
We're the 29th pick. The New England Patriots like...
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Welcome back to Gillette Stadium. Eric Scalavino alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly. We're talking running backs today. Guys, the Patriots are basically break-even this offseason. Losing Danny Woodhead, signing Leon Washington. They still have, from last year, the duo from a couple of years ago of Shane Vereen and Stephen Ridley in the backfield. Before we get to the players in this class, do you guys think this position is something the Patriots would target in rounds one, two, or three this year?
No, I agree with Andy.
Okay.
Don't forget Brandon Bolden.
Brandon Bolden, sure. Yep.
And for that reason, I think there's plenty of depth and young depth. So I don't really see, unless someone were to just completely be so far and away above the value at that particular spot. Like I have Kenyon Barner just that much ahead of anybody else on my board in the middle of the third round or whatever it happens to be, and I can't pass him up. But what do you like to say, Andy? I'm going to go with 2% chance and some random number.
17.3.
Just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't really see it either. And if we're throwing in names not to forget or necessarily to discount, Will Demps is technically still a Patriot, correct?
And he
Jeff Demps is technically still a Patriot.
Correct.
Will Demps technically never was a Patriot.
No,
but Jeff Demps
too.
Is a running back slash kick returner. And I do think that, you know, Paul brought up Kenyon Barner, and he's a guy that I mentioned in one of the Patriots Today position previews.
I recall you doing so.
And I think if they look for anything, it would be that type. Some, you know, young Leon Washington, a third down back, a Danny Woodhead replacement to compete, just because Shane Vereen has had his health issues in the short time that he's here. And as we've talked about on PFW in Progress, I like the idea of Shane Vereen bumping up to that lead role as change of pace guy, pass catcher, third down back, whatever you want to call it. But I don't really think Leon Washington is the backup to that at this point in his career. He's seen his offensive snaps really sort of fall off the map. So do you need a quote-unquote backup to that position? I don't know. But if you do, then they might target one in the draft.
And even Stephen Ridley is, I mean, he's the lead back. He's your between-the-tackles guy who can bounce outside. But he's not a huge physical presence.
No.
So none of these guys, Washington, Vereen, even, you know, if you want to include Demps, and Ridley, they're all relatively small-sized backs. Even Kenyon Barner, who you mentioned, is
very small.
Very small guy. So no interest maybe in getting a bigger sort of a Corey Dillon type.
Not in the draft. And, I mean, I think that's what you go out and get a veteran. You know, those veterans are always sort of out there when they go get, what's his name, from the Raiders and Jets a couple of years ago, or they add one of those veteran types,
Lamont Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can always get one of those bigger backs. They seem to bounce around free agency quite a bit. If you're going for a bigger back, then you're going for Eddie Lacy. Say, I need a franchise back. And they don't need that, in my opinion. And, I mean, for whatever you think of Stephen Ridley, he rushed for 1,200 yards last year in a pass-first offense. You know, he didn't even really have the opportunity to be the guy. Now, maybe he's not the
guy. But as a backup to him.
Yeah, but
to have another guy who's sort of a big body.
Yeah, I just don't see the need there with Bolden. And, I mean.
No, I think both of those guys are power backs, too.
Yeah.
You know, I would look at them. Maybe they're not, the 6'2", 235-pound backs that you think of when you think of like a Jerome Bettis type or something
right, like
that. But I think they're both power backs. I think they run with a lot of, they have some rocks in their pockets when they run between the tackles. I think those guys can certainly
better
get it done. And I also think it's sort of, I don't want to say a dying breed, but that style of back to me is fewer and farther between than maybe ever.
Just like we've seen sort of a decline in fullbacks.
Yeah, you're looking.
Except
I think,
on this team, really.
You're looking for
like
more, for better, worse, or indifferent, you're looking for more versatility. You're looking for guys that can catch the ball, that can run it between the tackles, but also get out in space, create some matchup problems in five wide sets without having to take your running back off the field. You know, a guy like Monte Ball or Eddie Lacy, I'm not sure would be very comfortable if all of a sudden Tom Brady came out and audibled and said, we're going to go five wide. We've seen him do that with Stephen Ridley. I'm not sure those big guys can do stuff like that.
And a name we haven't mentioned yet but falls into the big back category and probably would have been the number one back on the board were it not for his significant injury history, Marcus Lattimore from South Carolina. Do you guys think he's recovered enough from all of his unfortunate circumstances health-wise at South Carolina to be a player who can go in the first round or two?
Oh, God, no. I don't. I first of all, I wouldn't touch him. I think it's a wasted pick. I don't think he's ever going to amount to anything.
You think he's talented, though?
I actually think he's overrated. Regardless of injuries, I think he's been overrated. I think the idea of him is greater than the talent actually was, the production actually was. And now, two ACLs later, I don't see it. And I know the Patriots, people have tried to link him to the Patriots, and I just don't see that either. With a team that doesn't have that many picks, doesn't have a great need, I just don't know why you would waste that pick. Even if he's a great kid, and, you know, we had all the reports about his pro day, mm-hmm. you know, the cheers after he worked out, that's great. And, you know, there's a lot of great kids in college football. You know, I've talked with Paul about the kid from Penn State who's on his third ACL. Great kid. Bill O'Brien loves him. Leader on defense. You know, wasn't All-American.
Mike Motti.
Sorry. I mean, it's unfortunate that your career played out the way it did with injuries, but sorry, good people sometimes finish last, and I think that's the case with Lattimore.
I love him.
It never came to be.
I love him, but I could not possibly agree more with Andy. I think that he is one of those guys that is a very, very good college back. And injuries aside, I think he lacks the explosiveness and breakaway speed necessary. I think he's going to be another one of those guys. You know, like the Wisconsin guys that I always make fun of, you know, the Ron Danes of the world.
And you're going to include Monty Ball in there.
I'm absolutely including him in there. I think Wisconsin has had a fair amount of those types of backs that big, and they overpowered people in the college ranks, and then they weren't fast enough or quick enough to the hole to consistently do it. And I think Lattimore is probably better than those guys, and the injuries are going to have stripped away. And I will say one thing on, you know, before we move on to some of the other guys that we like. Early in his career, he was the entire offense. So he got the ball 35 plus times a game, and other teams put 11 guys basically to stop him. And then he got hurt. So he got stripped of some of his athleticism and never really got a chance to run free against teams that were playing honestly. So maybe this part of that, with, you know, Andy talked about his production. You know, what was it, like 1,200 yards, Andy? Something like that? Wasn't like astronomical numbers for him. Maybe that's part of the reason why. He's never been a huge average per carry guy. He's always been a volume ball carrier.
I don't care for it.
And I don't think that necessarily is what you're looking for.
It's kind of my theory on, you know, big running backs become fullbacks in the pros. Well, guys who have yards per carry and production in college, generally that takes a step back. I want the guy who's 6 yards a carry in college who steps back to 4.3. So, yeah, nice kid. Yeah, I'm rooting for him. Maybe he gets a shot somewhere, and maybe he does the Willis McGahee and all that, but I think he'll be a mid- to late-round pick, and I think he's got a long way to go. And maybe I just can't get the visual of his right knee out of my mind from at the combine. And it was his leg was just
that
so atrophied and so scarred up that just made me uncomfortable. I personally, I don't know why he didn't have sweatpants on. It was because so many people were coming up with their camera phones, taking pictures, and tweeting them out. To me, that's a visual you don't want or need out there. Even though the team sees it.
He had one leg. His left leg was much.
The atrophy on his right leg was just straight down.
Really?
And that happens. I mean, it's normal. But to me, I would have worn sweatpants to just keep that visual from being out there. You don't need that sort of reminder that, he really is a multi-time major injury guy.
All right, well, as Paul said, we'll move on to some of the other guys that when watching tape, you might have struck your eye. Paul, anybody in particular?
We talked about the versatility and stuff like that, and Andy talked about Barner, another guy that Andy mentioned when we did this exercise for Patriots Today, is Theo Riddick from Notre Dame, and he's another guy that does some different things well. He actually was a wide receiver at Notre Dame, so I like guys like that can sort of catch the ball and work in space nowadays. If you recall back, you know, the guys like Kendall Hunter with San Francisco and LaMichael James, they happen to take both of those guys. I like to sort of find a guy like that, the Percy Harvins of the world, and then figure out exactly what I'm going to do with them later. And I think Theo Riddick is a guy that Andy had mentioned, and I completely agree with him.
Probably be available later.
These are later round guys. These aren't guys that you'd have to you know, trade up to get or anything like that. One other guy that I like, don't love, is the kid from Florida, Gillislee, Mike Gillislee.
Just looking at him. Yeah.
And he's, you know, he had some production. He sort of came out of nowhere this year. He had a really good season after Florida had sort of been down a little bit in the post-Urban Meyer era. But Theo Riddick is a guy, and Andy brought him up a couple of weeks ago when we started doing the stuff for Patriots Today, and I really agree with him. I think he just kind of screams Patriot to me. I don't think the Patriots will take him or anything like that just because I don't think there's a huge need. But he's a guy that I bet Belichick likes.
Yeah, I to me, it's the same thing. It's not necessarily what he does. It's the idea of him that seems like a Patriot. And, you know, as a fifth, sixth round pick, there's, you know, you're not that far away from all of a sudden being undrafted, and then he could be a Patriot as a camp guy who can play preseason running back and wide receiver, some different things, a little higher up. And As I said, I kind of focused more on the third down types, the smaller backs. You know, Lacy, in my opinion, is the best back in the draft, and this is now, you know, maybe a couple of years in a row Alabama's had that best back in the draft. And just from my own personal analysis, he's better than Mark Barron, not as good as Trent Richardson. Whatever that means, for whatever
that's
worth.
That's still pretty good.
Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram, who'd I say?
Yeah, Mark Barron.
Oh.
I knew what you meant.
Safety
out of Alabama,
yeah. Obviously. Got a lot of names flying through my head this time
of year. I knew what you meant.
But I think
it wasn't like Fred talking about Wes Welker out of nowhere.
Trent Richardson, to me, has the chance to be special. I think he has the total package. You know, they're making rules because of him for lowering his head. To me, Lacy is good, not great, or great, not elite, wherever that fine line is. But certainly, big back who can, you know, hit the home run still. I think he's fast enough. That's one of the questions he has to deal with. I think he's fast enough. But from a Patriots perspective, I like Andre Ellington out of Clemson.
He's another one. Another one of those guys.
Kenyon Barner, kick returner. You watch something, he's got some of that wow to him.
Real
Maybe
slippery.
It's just because I like orange and he makes his wow runs in orange. It makes him look faster, more of a big play guy. But, you know, he's a guy that can, you know, be a change of pace guy, help you in the kick return. Now, some of this has changed because of Leon Washington. You know, I went into this process thinking they need a kick. They need somebody
who can add
an edge to the return game. Leon Washington, theoretically, I mean, he had 29 per kick return last year, is that guy. So if that's your guy, maybe that lessens the need in this area where I've been looking. But I still think the versatile guys.
Or bring in a younger guy to compete with him.
Sure. And, I mean, Leon Washington, who knows? Maybe those kick returners can lose it overnight.
And you know what happens to running backs when they hit 30?
So, another Notre Dame guy. I like Sierre Wood, the guy who kind of got replaced by Theo Riddick. He was sort of the starter the year before when Riddick was still a wide receiver. Not Pierre Woods. He went to Michigan. This is Sierre Wood.
Yeah,
his mother wanted to name him Pierre but didn't like the P, so changed it to a C.
Is that really?
Yeah, something like that. She liked Pierre but didn't want to be Pierre, so he named him Sierre.
Yeah, I don't like him as much. But
I think he's a guy that's intriguing. You know, he has some issues. He was suspended. The coaching staff, he kind of fell out of favor, and that's sort of why Riddick became the back. So I don't know what that whole behind-the-scenes story is. But, I mean, the guys had production, obviously, for Notre Dame. And there's a lot of guys in this draft who have production, and you try to say, is the production – does it equate to talent? Or is it just production? Is it college production? Like, I think out of Lattimore, even at his best, I think he was a college running back. You know, the kid Le'Veon Bell on Michigan State is one of the other big backs in this draft. He actually dropped some weight at the combine. I think he got down to 230. But this is a guy that played at, like, 245, 250.
He's another one of
big,
those college
productive
guys, by
certainly.
The way. It's going to be too slow to get to the hole.
But you know what? One of those guys is going to be good.
Yeah, sooner or later, there'll be an exception
Foster,
to my rule.
I thought was a fullback. I thought he was too slow. I didn't think he was going to be an elite franchise back. Yeah. He's an elite running back in the NFL. One of these guys might be that guy, whether it's Ball or Bell. So, you know, other guys, Ray Graham, if you remember, he was like a big-time guy at Pitt.
Huge.
And then he got hurt, and he never got it back. And, you know, that's another Patriot type where, you know, he still has that good stuff that made him elite going into Pitt in his freshman year, you know, as they search for value in the late rounds of the draft, because he's a guy that could go in the seventh round or undrafted free agent. So, yeah, I think there's value guys that they could go after. I just, you know, Masonette, the kid out of
I was going to say, down your list here.
And I don't love him.
McCaleb from Auburn ran a blazing 40 at the combine.
Nah.
Production didn't really match that speed. And your guy,
Masonette.
Miguel Masonette from Stony Brook. Unbelievable production
school.
At a smaller level.
Who knows? Now, I didn't think he was that impressive.
He went to Stony Brook.
Was it
so
like
he
your
did
guy?
Not play in the SEC of the 1AA level.
That is true.
So Does he take that for what it's worth?
You remember, was it a year or two ago, Taiwan Jones, kid from a small school?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he had blazing speed.
He did.
Jones was,
I didn't know how much he compared.
Bissonnette is an average guy, you know, a 4-5 type regular running
back.
Not
quite.
A lot of production.
On that, level.
His thing that I think really helped him is he had a big game against Syracuse, which is, you know, a step up in competition.
Sure.
He had like a 70 yard run, you know, some big run, you know, and 160 yards on the day. I just wasn't wowed by him. And I get back to, you know, I talked on one of the Patriots Today things about Garrett Gilkey, a low-level offensive lineman who dominated. Well, that's what I expect to see. When I say low-level, I think you need to jump off the film, like stand out. Masonette was productive, but there's a lot of guys that are productive at that level that never get a sniff at the NFL.
Yeah, and remember that was my thing with Ramses Barden. He went to Cal Poly, I think, and just was he was really tall, but didn't really do a whole lot else.
So he's an intriguing guy just because of the story. First guy, I believe, from Stony Brook to go to the Combine. And he actually started out at Hofstra. You know, they dropped football. He transferred.
Now, he would have played in the SEC at the 1AA level.
Maybe his production wouldn't have been quite as impressive.
Had he stayed at Hofstra.
In that tough level of football.
Well, in our last podcast, we were talking about quarterbacks and how none of us was really impressed overall with that class. Especially coming off of the previous year where it was a great QB class. What do you guys think overall of this running back class on its own and compared to other years recently?
Meh. I think it's
so unimpressive, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I think Lacy's the best, and I don't think he measures up necessarily to some of the recent bests, so that tells you kind of where I slot the overall talent.
Mm-hmm.
And even the depth of it, I don't love the depth. You know, there's been other drafts where I thought, that guy could be a star in the third round. You know, maybe.
Guy from Green Bay. What was his name?
James Starks.
Yeah, there you go.
It was a late round guy. But I'm not even talking much about that. It's just, you know, guys, you know, Shane Vereen. To me, Shane Vereen in this draft would look like a wow guy. And I'm not sure there's too many guys in here that I think are going to be great pros. So I think it's sort of a down year for the running back position, kind of like it is for quarterbacks.
So the backfield in general, not a good year if you need one.
No. I mean, we didn't talk about Bernard out of North Carolina. I wasn't in love with him. He's, you know, short,
I don't know a ton
stocky.
About him. All I know is that he suddenly was sort of toward the top of a lot of running back. I don't remember watching him a
maybe
lot
by
in
default?
North Carolina.
Yep. I mean,
but Lacy, I mean, everybody, you see Lacy all the time, and you see the talent there. Now, I wonder with some of those Alabama guys, now, I think Ingram has been okay at best. Richardson was very good in his rookie year. You wonder with Alabama, they have that NFL offensive line that they're running behind and they're dominating every game. Yeah.
But the flip side of that is supposedly they're going against NFL defenses. You know, it's
they're better.
The SEC is actually the SEC of the SEC.
That is correct.
So the
but not all SEC
players
teams,
are good.
But not all SEC teams are created equal.
No, I know, but I think part of that is, I mean, seriously, a lot of these D lines, there'll be two or three guys on a team that
when they push
Georgia, South Carolina,
Georgia, LSU, when they're stuffing
LSU,
it down. South Carolina, not the same.
Do have the best defensive player in the history of the game.
That's true. I love that guy.
That's a different guy for a different podcast. But
for a different year.
My only point is, for example, the Patriots year. I mean, Cunningham wasn't really well thought of. Dunlap was, but they both end up as second-round NFL picks.
Right.
That's what you're running against every week. You know, that may have been the year before. Whatever. That's every SEC team, for the most part, has NFL talent on it.
Yeah.
We've seen plenty of guys come out of Ole Miss,
Kentucky.
You know, Sendarek Marks, I think, was from one of those other schools. You know, there's D linemen, it seems like, at all
those schools.
Mississippi
State is one of those teams that you wonder that they're always like 500, but there's a lot of guys.
Georgia,
you know,
I mean, is like Alabama. They generally have like three guys in the front seven who are first round picks.
Yeah, Mark Richt is widely considered to be a questionable coach because every year he has like five guys slated to go in the top 15, but yet can't seem to get over the hump.
That also means he's a good recruiter,
but can't coach.
Yeah, but you're good in the bad. Do you want the players and not be able to coach them, or do you just not want the players? Eric's nodding at glass.
Well, he's trying to get Kevin's attention because we've been going on forever here.
So the bottom line is Patriots don't need a running back, which is good. There aren't any great running backs in this class, or very few.
Right.
And if they want a running back, it may be a later round, smaller, or value-based guy. I'm going Kenyon Barner is the only guy they might go after.
Versatility.
Okay. Sounds good. We will be back next week with more from the offense in these Draft Prospect Review podcast, as we're only 3 weeks away from the 2013 NFL Draft. We'll see you next week.
Is for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.